This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
Ooh, hi, Katie.
Hi.
What's going on?
Hi. I'm still unpacking. I'm still getting moved in to my new place. I'm living out of boxes. My life is incredibly chaotic.
No, that's never fun.
Yeah, I'm like really behind in a lot of things because I was not aware that time was passing. But, you know, we're here and Mike and I are just so fucking pumped to be in our own space, in our house. So things are going good.
I'm so happy for you guys.
Oh, thanks.
I'm doing okay. A lot's going on. There's like, what's today? The 21st? I don't know. There's like 17 days or something like that until the election. So things are getting down to the wire. Things are getting crazy. We're finishing up our canvassing. My neighbor just turned on their lawnmower. Are you fucking kidding me?
Of course.
That always happens when we do it like in the afternoon on a weekday. Anyway, inconsiderate.
It's Saturday.
Jesus Christ.
I know. There's no pattern.
Yeah, there's
that's
no pattern.
That's the issue.
I had work today. Oh my God. That's why I thought it was a weekday. What else? We're doing our trunk or treat again at the funeral home, and I just ordered my Halloween costume last night. I am gonna be Daria.
Hell yes.
Mm-mm-mm. You know, I gotta tell you, it was very difficult to find what I needed to make the costume, because the costume that like Party City sells, that's like a very cartoony version of it, is not made for you and me.
Oh bro, it's been difficult for me to find Halloween costumes my entire life.
Yeah, I stopped buying like costumes from like stores like that. Like for the last 2 years, I've just like made mine out of like stuff I have already. I was like, really, guys? Just fucking really?
Yeah.
I was like, this looks like it was made for a child, not even an adult, and it was the adult one.
Mm-hmm. The early 2000s and buying costumes as a fat kid was so fun.
Oh, God.
So fun.
Well, it was an interesting process. At one point, and you know I don't like to use Shein, but I'm desperate, I found like almost the perfect jacket and like the rest of the costume. Because let me tell you, finding a Kelly Green jacket that looks like Daria's is very difficult.
Not easy.
Not easy. That shit was not going to get here until the 30th, and the trunk or treat's on the 28th, and I was like, nope. So unfortunately, real talk, I had to use Dan's fucking Amazon account.
Bro, it happens.
It happens. It was the only way to get shit. And here I am with the measuring tape, like being like, is this actually gonna fit me? Like, are they telling me that this is the right size?
Mm-hmm.
It's a real guessing game with Amazon. You can't trust any of that shit. It should be here by Monday. I hope it works.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm sure it's gonna be great. It works. Yeah. I'm sure it's gonna be great.
So that's what's going on with me.
Nice. Nice. Plus size shopping's a bitch.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's the fucking worst. You know what? In my show notes, I'll post some of the websites I have been using for a while. Being fat is like such an exclusive club. You like learn these things.
Yeah.
And like you like have like the good, you have the places, and that's why like fat friends and fat community is so important.
Yes, so important.
I guess we're getting into it. I don't really have...
When
this comes out, there are still a couple days left of New Fest, and there are still movies that are streaming and streaming passes that are available, as well as stuff in person. So if you're in New York City or just around and looking for something to do, definitely check that out. I don't know if you've like been looking at their social media, but this shit has been popping. It looks like it's been so much fun. I am so fucking bummed that I wasn't able to attend the way that I wanted to.
Yeah.
But some of the films they're phenomenal. So I highly recommend looking into just even whatever happens to be streaming when you have some free time. So please like support independent gay film. It's so important. Like the stories that are being told and the ability for people to see themselves in stories is really fucking important.
Yes. Oh, you're gonna make me cry. It is so important.
Oh, don't do that. But it's happy really tears. Important.
Happy tears.
Happy tears. That's true. That's true.
I hope your sister's been having fun.
I think she's back home now, unfortunately. Well, unfortunately for me, because I didn't get to see her. But she had a blast.
Good. Good.
And everyone looks like they're just really getting to enjoy all of their work putting this stuff together. So.
Nice. Well, let's get into it now.
Yes. Before I can get into like the story as a whole, there's something that I want to mention, which is the Flying Squad. And that is a branch of the Organized Crime Command within the London's Metropolitan Police Service. They're going to get mentioned a lot, but if you don't know what it is, it sounds so silly. I mean, it still does. But
I kind of love that name.
Right? So they get mentioned a lot because we are going to be talking about the largest burglary in English legal history.
Oh, damn.
The 2015 theft at the Hatton Garden State Depository Company in London's Jewelry Quarter.
It's always jewel places. Always. Right?
I'm not sure why. I don't know much about the jewelry industry, so who knows? We are talking about a group of, you know, like career criminals, people who really know what they're doing, and they are after the Hatton Garden. It's a 7-story building, and it has, I think it said like 60 occupants in there. Like, most of them are jewelers. Underneath the building is a giant vault filled with the safety deposit boxes that like traders and people who are trading things, not like a traitor.
Yes, yes.
Keep their stuff, whether it's like, you know, above board stuff or like some shady jewelry trading, because, you know, like blood diamonds and shit. It's not a great industry. Maybe we should do an episode about that.
Yeah, you just know there's some sketchy shit going on in there.
Of course.
And I'm all about it. I'm all about hearing about it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So,
clarify.
The plan begins in 2012 with Brian Reeder, who's nicknamed the Governor. But I just heard that on one thing, and they kept saying it a lot. For some reason, I thought that they kept referring to him in the news as the Gentleman. Oh. But I'll have to pull up the screenshot again, because people's identities, they're not known right away. But
yeah, I kind of love that, though. Governor.
Of course. It's so fucking English.
It's so British. I love it.
Danny Jones, Kenny Collins, and Terry Perkins. They're all career criminals, like I said. Terry's like a pretty hardcore badass. He one time escaped prison, was like on the run for a while. He knows Danny Jones because they had done jobs previously. They plan for a while this heist. It is one of those situations where they've been putting a lot of work into this because it is all their last big heist before they retire.
It's always the big money one.
Because the average age of these men, it is a movie, is 60.
Ooh.
The oldest man is in his 70s. He's about 74.
Damn.
And the youngest is 54. So these are known as the bad dads, or like grandpas. You know, they had a lot of great nicknames.
Oh, I bet.
This was, like I said, like their last big heist before they get out of the game. But they put a lot of time into planning this, which I find interesting, because when they sat down in 2012, one of them was like 72, and he was like, all right, it's gonna take 3 years to pull this together. 74, 75.
I could not even imagine being in my 70s and committing to a 3-year thing.
I'm in my 30s. I barely commit to 3-year plans.
Yeah, I barely commit to 3 weeks. Like, come on.
I struggle, like, committing to a schedule for this recording.
You're like, I couldn't even handle 3 days.
I couldn't. So, props to them. The time that they planned to do this was April of 2015. All jokes aside, they very specifically waited for this weekend because it had an overlap of Passover and like Good Friday. Like, a lot of holidays were all happening at the same time. Everything was closed Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it gave them like a big gap of emptiness where this building was going to be empty.
That's so smart.
It's really fucking smart.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty fucking smart. Like,
everyone's
damn
at home.
Everyone's at home. And then it just so happens that, completely unrelated to them, a fire broke out So electrical cables underground caught fire, and it led to like a huge fuck up of regular flow in London, because it continued for 2 days with flames literally just like shooting out of a manhole cover from a burst gas main.
What? Oh my god, what a coincidence.
A bunch of people were evacuated from their offices. Local residents were kind of trapped. Like, police had some other shit. They were dealing with some other shit while this was going on.
They're a little fucking busy right now.
In those 3 years, they also kind of like filled out their group a little bit, because these, you know, 4 74-year-olds weren't going to be able to pull this off alone. Well, they're not all 74, but like, you know, they're all legitimate grandpas. They brought on Carl Wood and a guy named Michael Basil Seed, and they refer to him as Basil throughout the whole thing, spelled like Basil, but again, they are English, so
Basil Seed, like the way I want to call him Basil Seed.
I know, same. The night comes, and Terry Perkins, Brian Reeder, John Kenny Collins, they call him Kenny, Carl Wood, Daniel Jones meet at this place. And they're all dressed in like gas repairmen things, which was their plan all along. And it just so happened that these gas lines, electric lines, like it just, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, this makes fucking sense.
Oh my God.
Right?
What are the chances? I mean, what a perfect, opportune moment.
They're like, oh shit, okay, thank you.
They literally couldn't have planned it better.
No. No. And again, like, they did not do it. So many people assumed that they had something to do with that, but like, it has been proven at this point that they didn't.
Because it almost is giving like that Ocean's 11 vibe where they made a distraction somewhere else.
There's a great podcast, I think they're with iHeartRadio, that I'll link in the notes, that has like a really great joke going on when they're talking about this, and they're like, yeah, if this were Fast and Furious, Vin Diesel would have like been the one to break it. Like, they would have made it, they would have been the reason that this happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that is very accurate.
I could totally see why people would think that they had done it. Definitely.
Because the timing is just so fucking perfect.
Yeah.
They get in there, and Basil is like the one who has a key somehow, and he gets in and he disables the alarm. But the alarm still kind of like sends off a little note to the security company.
Oh shit.
The cops come, but they're like, oh, everything looks fine, and they don't go in the building.
Stop. This is literally a movie script.
Oh, there is a movie about
this.
There's
a film about it? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Of course there is.
I want to watch it, but then I didn't want to like mix up stuff, you know what I mean?
Yes,
in case
yeah.
facts were not correct.
For any embellishments that the movie gives it, yeah.
Exactly. So they go in, these motherfuckers, they disable most of the cameras except for I think it was the entrance and one near the elevator. But the shots that they were able to get of these people were not helpful in identifying them. And we'll talk about how they come into play at the end. They disable the elevators. And then these grandpas climb down the elevator shaft.
What?
Into the vault.
Momentarily.
Yep.
Isn't there a movie that came out, I don't know, in the last 10 years about a group of like older dudes pulling off a heist? Like,
that's retirees? Probably this one.
That's probably,
it's probably this one.
Okay. Yeah. And it was like some pretty famous people in it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This probably is it.
Because I'm pretty sure there are some pretty famous people in this movie.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I remember the previews for it had them going down the elevator shaft.
Yes.
Like that played on TV. So you're probably picturing that image right now.
That is exactly what I'm picturing.
Yes.
Okay.
They get in there, and you know those like things in like big cities where it's like the metal like slide down thing? They're met with one of those. They just jack that thing open and they get up in there. Obviously, as anyone who's watched any single heist movie knows, if you try and fuck with the door of a vault, there's often alarms or things that get attached in there. So that's not what they went to do. Their plan was to drill 3 overlapping holes in the concrete wall next to it. And they did. But when they got through it, they were blocked by the security deposits that were like nailed to the wall.
Oh.
They had brought the hydraulic pumps that they use in construction.
Oh, shit.
To hold up ceilings when they're doing like scaffolding work and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were going to use that to push the wall, the security wall down and get in like that.
Oh shit.
But the pump fucking broke.
Stop. Oh my God. Imagine going through all that effort.
They worked all night and until 8 a.m. they weren't able to get anything. So they got the fuck out of there and bailed.
Oh my God.
Successfully. They were like talking about it. And the leader of the guy, like, the guy who like came up with it, Brian Reeder, he was like, look, it worked, but we didn't get what we needed. And if we go back in there, we're fucked.
Yeah.
We're caught. So I'm out. I'm done. And the other guys were like, we did all of that. It's still Easter weekend. Like, we can try again. We have, like, we have to, come on. We did all of that. We have to try this. And people had, like, put money into this plan. So they went back that night.
Oh, this is risky.
Same plan. They went and they had purchased a new hydraulic pump so that they could get through that. And when they got there, a light was on. Carl Wood was like, I don't know, man. Someone's clearly been in there. This is a trap. They're probably waiting for us to come back. Fuck this. I'm out. Now it just leaves the four. But one of those four is Kenny. And the night before, his job is lookout. Because yeah. Kenny's pretty old. He's got diabetes and struggling with dementia.
Okay.
Coming on. So, like, they can't really bring him in there.
Yeah.
But he can be watching out and kind of has, like, a solid alibi. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
Because he has on record a history of dementia.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he falls asleep, so it doesn't matter.
Shit. It's going downhill real fast.
It is what it is. So he's on the lookout, but then it leaves only three guys in there,
mm-hmm.
which is significant. You know, they had five before, and that definitely cuts down what they're going to be able to take should they be able to successfully get in there.
Yeah.
They do. They bring in the pump. They knock that shit over, and they empty out 70 of 1,000 security deposit boxes.
70 is still a lot for three people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of shit.
So much. For a while, the reports, like, high, like, vastly overpriced what was gone. But the official number now is 14 million currency pounds.
Wow.
Of jewelry, precious stones, and straight up cash.
That's crazy that three people took that.
Mm-hmm.
Three grandpas.
Three fucking grandpas. In multiple days. Like, they just, like, went in and out of this fucking jewelry vault.
I can't believe multiple they didn't times, get caught
right?
while they were there. I cannot believe that, dude. I really thought you were going to tell me that somebody was going to walk up on them.
Same. I was, like, waiting for them to get caught. They also, before they left, had dumped bleach all over the place, wiping their forensic shit, any forensic thing left. And they ripped the hard drives of the security cameras out.
Okay.
Anything that they may have accidentally left was going to be little and null. So like I said before, they did have some footage of them, but most of the stuff that they got ended up being from the CCTV of buildings around this place.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just took so much stuff.
Yeah.
People got there on Monday and they're like, what the fuck? Everyone was furious. I mean, it's jewelers, it's businesses, it's, you know, not necessarily up to par. People have just been robbed and like a bunch of shit is destroyed. The cops are on it, but they don't have any leads for a lot of the things that I mentioned. The first thing that they did was gather the CCTV footage of the surrounding buildings. And that gave them their first look at some of these guys. But they were faces covered, masks. A lot of times they were, when there was cameras on them, they like were very savvy and aware of what was going on. Like they would have things blocking them. It didn't lead to a lot until the night when they saw them leaving with stuff. They were able to see them walking into a car with a license plate that was like pretty distinctive.
Okay.
And they trace that license plate back to John Kenny Collins, 74-year-old grandpa. And at first they're like, 74. What? They must have, like, taken his car. Until they ran his name and realized that he'd been involved in the criminal underworld since the 1960s. Through watching him and seeing who he meets up with and who he's talking to, they see that he's connected with Jones and Terry Perkins, who is, like, infamous, as I said, in the criminal world. Then they start looking through their phone records and see that Perkins and Collins are calling Danny Jones. And after some digging, they find out that Jones was looking for and purchased a hydraulic pump the day of the robbery.
Ugh.
That business had, like, a camera, and he gave his name and ID, and, like, it was, like, very clearly him. May 1st, they're able to track Collins and Perkins to a sit-down meal with Brian Reeder, the guy who planned it but ended up bailing. They hadn't had the time to actually split up the goods completely, but everyone had taken a little bit of something.
Okay.
They're meeting with Reeder, and Reeder did end up getting some of the money because it's kind of like a don't rat me out, like, you know what we did sort of thing. But while they're all sitting in this pub and, like, chit-chatting, detectives from the flying squad record them talking about the hydraulic pump that they used to take the vault down.
Oh, dude. Their mistake was going back. They could have, like, planned this more and tried again at, like, a later date. They shouldn't have gone back.
They're on record talking about it. And then because of that, they get authorized to bug the vehicles, which they said in the documentary, which is, like, apparently, like, very rare in the UK. In these recordings, they start to hear division amongst the gang. People are getting frustrated with Brian because I don't know if he, like, wants more money or something's going on, but they're, like, kind of, like, talking shit about how, like, he must regret not sticking through with it and, like, all of this stuff. And then they're kind of, like, mad at Kenny Collins for, you know, they're talking shit.
Yeah.
They're also planning to meet up and kind of, like, actually divide everything for real. Collins, like, originally they were going to meet and stash everything at Kenny Collins' house, but his wife was coming into town the next day, and they're like, no, we can't do it here. So they had to, like, plan it. So Jones buried some, you know, they all kind of, like, took what they had and stashed it around in various places. The police are listening to their calls, they're listening to their cars, they're listening to all of their plans, and once the guys actually decide to meet up somewhere with all of the loot that they claim to have, the police see at the pub that they have all of the goods, they put it in a car, they drive to one of their houses, and the police flood one of their houses.
Ooh.
While that goes on, the flying squad also starts raiding 12 houses of people involved and some of their accomplices who they know have been stashing some of the money for them.
Oh, shit, they're getting everybody.
Oh, they're getting everyone. And only 1/3 of all of the goods was found. They rounded up 5 out of 6, everyone except for Basil. Because Basil stopped calling them afterwards, didn't meet with them, just completely cut off contact.
He was smart. He was like, I'm gonna take my shit and leave.
And he evaded the police until 2018.
Oh, damn. Okay, Basil.
They couldn't confirm exactly who he was, but once they caught him, they learned that he's an alarm specialist who doesn't pay taxes, claims no benefits, doesn't have a bank account, like, doesn't use a phone, like, was very difficult to find because he purposefully, like, lives off the grid.
He's smart.
He's super smart. He was identified by the flying squad in November, but it took until 2017 for them to actually pull enough evidence together to go after him. They caught him with more than 1,000 of the items stolen from the heist. He had a gold smelter, tons of jewelry, cash, a bunch of stuff. And then he was also put in jail. Everyone else, so the first 5 people who were arrested, they pled guilty. And they got, like, 6 to 7 years. Basil pled not guilty. And they said, fuck you. And gave him 10. They were supposed to pay back the remaining stuff. But a bunch of them just didn't. So more time got added to their prison time. Because, like, that's, you still stole it. So like you got breaking and entering and burglary and then like the theft also.
You if you don't give the money back,
you're stealing again. You have to give it back. Kenny Collins was pretty sick. Or no, was it Kenny? Yeah, it was Kenny Collins. He was pretty sick. So he actually ended up not even having to serve time in jail.
That sucks.
I mean, he just got to like have his money and live at home.
I thought you meant that he died in jail or something.
No. He was too sick. So they just didn't put him in jail. Oh. They just let him do it at home.
Oh, like he was under house arrest?
I mean, basically, but like, isn't that just being 80?
I was gonna say, he's just old.
just chilled at home. Yeah, he didn't pay the money back either. So then he just stayed.
They were just like, just stay at home longer.
Do your thing, I guess.
You're like, cool, can do, thanks.
Sweet, bye. There is a movie, hold on, let's see. I think it
might You gotta tell like me who's in it, because then I can be
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, I will.
Grandpa heist.
Right? Hold on, where's the movie? Larry Lamb, Matthew Good, Phil Daniels, Clive Russell, David Calder. Yeah, some pretty famous people. You would know their faces.
Okay. What's the name of the movie?
The Hatton Garden Job.
How do you spell that?
Hatton.
Okay, I do know who these are. Some of these people are. This is not the movie I was thinking
about. Oh, what are you thinking about?
I think this is the one. Is this what I'm thinking of? I think it. The one that I was thinking of was from 2017, Going in Style, and it has Michael Caine, Alan Arkin, Matt Dillon, Christopher Lloyd, Morgan Freeman.
So this is hilarious because none of those are the movies that it is. It's actually King of Thieves with Michael Caine.
Oh.
From 2018.
Oh, wow. The fact that he's in the one that I'm talking about and that one that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I love Michael Caine. Wow. Three different heist movies with old dudes.
Mm-hmm.
What a market.
So yeah, it is a movie. A lot of movies, apparently. And that's the largest heist in British English history.
Wow. I still stand by, had they not gone back, they wouldn't have been found out, because clearly they covered their steps that first night. They didn't find any evidence from the first night on like CCTV camera around, just from like that car with the license plate from the second night.
Yeah, but they would have been empty handed. They didn't get anything the first night. They needed that money.
They could have like regrouped.
They could have, but they're old.
They are. They didn't have
They were probably like, we already put 3 years into this. Like...
Yeah.
So that's that. And people have our special Halloween episode to look forward to.
I'm so excited. You guys have so much social media content to look forward to. We are working very hard on it. We got so much footage and so many pictures at the location, which I'm excited for y'all to finally learn. Only one of you has come very close to guessing where it actually is. I'm telling you, I'm like Taylor Swift, dropping fucking clues left and right, y'all. It's the names of the filters that I'm using on photos and my reels. It's the songs. Come on, guys. I want someone to guess it.
They're there. You'll find them. Mm-hmm. You just have to look.
You just have to
and
look.
And listen. So yeah, until then.
We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye. For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.